We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
He's my favorite subject. If you don't know me already, you know this. I get excited just talking about it, and so I'm excited about this one. I'm going to preach to myself, and if no one else is blessed, then I will be blessed today. But I was saying, you know, how we're going to talk about some of the characters, not that supported him, but that interfered with Jesus, because I feel like they relate to me, because I feel like I interfere with the path to redemption at times. Now, don't get me wrong. I think I'm a nice person. I'm not a good person, though. No one's good. And I feel like no matter how much I try to be good, I end up failing. And I end up muddling the story of a sinless Savior. I end up contradicting the Christ that is perfect with my life. I seem to not help. I interrupt. And I wish I wasn't like that, but that's the thing. Jesus came for the interruptions. I'm sure that the disciples felt the same way. I'm sure Thomas might have thought at times, man, Jesus is telling me to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And then at the same time, Jesus is saying, all of you are going to disown me at one point. And he probably felt so inadequate. He probably felt like, Jesus, why would you want to use me? And I would hope that you feel this way too, unless you're very prideful and you don't need Jesus. But why, Jesus, do you even include me in your redemption plan? But the thing about Jesus is that intrusions, interruptions don't set him off track. They only aid him in his pursuit of us. They only fit into a way not to mess up his plan, but advance it. You look at Judas's betrayal. You look at Peter's denial. You look at even the parading crowds that welcomed him into the city of Jerusalem, into the gates. We're going to celebrate that in a few weeks, and we're going to wave palm branches, and some of you are going to think it's nerdy, and some of you are going to love it. I'm going to love it. We're going to wave palm branches, and they were celebrating him, but they were really interrupting. They didn't understand, and he used even those crowds to guide him to his goal. He does the same today. That's the reason that I want to talk about it, because he does the same today with me, does the same with you. He uses your weakness to shine his strength. He uses your brokenness. He uses my brokenness to declare wholeness to the world and what he came to do. Jesus interrupted, no matter how impossible your situation could be, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how you feel that you failed him, because you all have, if you've not realized that. We've all failed him. You might have been in church your whole life. You might have just come for the first time, but all of us are in the same boat, that you haven't earned anything with him. Jesus gave it to you. It's grace. It's grace. We're all in the same place. And Jesus interrupted is still Jesus divine. And I want to title this message in this series. I want to title this Villains of Victory. If you're writing this down or if you're taking notes, Villains of Victory. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the remainder of this time that we have together. We continue to include you in our service. We ask for your presence. I ask for your anointing on every ear that is tired in this room. Everyone that would rather not care about what is going to be said right now, I pray that you would anoint them to hear. And I need the anointing too, to speak it. But let us hear what you have for us. Every person needs something different today. Everyone would love to hear from the Holy Spirit in a different way. I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would challenge us to not sit and be who we've always been, but that we would somehow go to a different level in our relationship and walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you the question, and this is not just to the old people. This is to the young alike. I feel like I've done this many times. I'm the young in the room. Have you ever walked into a room only to find when you got into the room, you forgot why you came into the room? You came in, and then you're trying to trace your steps, and you can't figure it out. Have you anyone done that? Like, oh, my gosh, what is happening? I need to take... What is that stuff I need? I need it. Because I'll go to the store, Cynthia will say, will you buy some grapes? Sure, I'll come home with milk and a red box instead. Hey, I got, oh, grapes, yes, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm happy to tell you today that if you do that, you're old or you're forgetful. But also this, that the Heavenly Father doesn't need a grocery list when he goes on his plan with us. He doesn't need, I got to remember this, so that I accomplish my plan in Arnie's life. Oh, I forgot. I was interrupted by this person. Judas interrupted me, and so sorry, Arnie. No, God doesn't do this because he's divine. He knows how to take life's interruptions and then still work a masterpiece in us. He's doing something. And you'll see that he did this here in the story we're going to look at today in the Bible. It's found in Matthew 27. We're going to look at the first verse together. Matthew 27:15. This story is about a man who really interrupted the narrative of Jesus. If you were just to look at it from face value, his name is Barabbas. And it says this, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing the multitude, just one person, whoever they wish, they could release one, and it was a feast called the Passover, right? It's called the Passover. The word Pasquel, and maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. I sound like I'm more from Mexico than from Israel when I say this, but Pasquel really means Passover means Easter. We're celebrating Easter just in a different way. Jesus passed over us for a different reason, but that would be something that Sina could explain much, much better to you. I think she's doing a Passover meal. Is that true? At the women's brunch. Is it allowed to do a Passover at brunch? Yeah, at the women's brunch next month, so feel free to go to that. But, you know, that was what was going on. It was Pasquel. It was the Pasquel pardon. It was the Passover pardon. You could call it today the Easter pardon, and there's so much there if you wanted to go into it. But verse 16, at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus the Christ? The story of Easter is just awesome. I just love it. It just paints a picture. But put yourself in Barabbas' place for a moment. He's in prison. He's in jail. He's on death row. And he's going to die for what he's done. And quite frankly, I believe he probably knew he deserved to be killed for what he did. And he hears the crowds, and they're yelling, crucify him, crucify him. He knows that it's coming to his last moments. And they come to his jail cell. They open it up. They drag him out. And as he's starting to adjust to the sunlight, he's expecting judgment. Now, if you'll look at this, you'll see somebody else in Barabbas. I'm not going to say who it is, but you'll see somebody else. He's coming out and he's expecting judgment. He's got his chains. He's got his shackles. And instead of hearing jeers, they're cheering. They're celebrating. Release Barabbas. Barabbas, before you know it, his chains are gone. His chains are gone. And he walks away. He walks, and Jesus is still standing here. And he's set free. Verse 21, it says, the governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Because people don't know. People don't understand. Barabbas! The guards soon after drag Jesus away, Jesus of Nazareth away. And he carries a cross. Barnabas is probably the only he is the only person in history that can literally say Jesus carried my cross. Because very easily Jesus could have been released. But Barabbas was released and Jesus carried the cross that Barabbas should have been carrying. I don't know if you ever heard the news story in Missouri about a man in jail for 19 years. 19 years he was in jail for crimes, and in 2017 he was released because they found another guy. And I didn't tell you this, Rachel, but in the Dropbox there's a picture of this other person. Maybe you could find it before I get to it. They found this other guy who had actually done the crimes. He looked exactly like the other guy, and they were named the exact same thing. And so he was set free from prison. Now you can take it off, those two. They look exactly the same, really. Back to Matthew. Both these two people, Barabbas and Jesus, the same names. They had the same names. I'll get to it in a minute. That's where their story stops being the same. But except that Jesus, our Lord, he would have said, I assumed an earthly body. I wanted to be like you. I wanted to be Emmanuel. I wanted to be God with you. So I am the same as you. Even though we would say, no, you're so much different. You are sinless. You've never done anything wrong. We don't deserve you. Jesus Christ came to be one of us. You know, it's the only religion, Christianity, where God actually comes to the humanity and fixes the humanity's problem himself. He doesn't say, you do it. He says, I will come. I will assume your name. I will assume your stature, your level, and I will fix you. I will fix humankind. If there was a day where this happened and I was there, I might say, stop, everybody stop. You got the wrong person here. You picked the wrong guy. This Barabbas is a villain to Christ. I don't think it would have helped, but I would have at least said my plea. Jesus was going to be killed for the crime that Barabbas had done. Does this sound familiar to you? Jesus was killed for the crime that somebody else had done. Jesus was arrested, condemned, as good as dead, set to be crucified. Jesus interrupted is the understatement of the year, if that is the case. Because he's going to his death. It's hardly just being interrupted. Unless your name is Jesus Barabbas. Because that's what Barabbas' name, if you study it out. Barabbas' name was also Jesus, a very common name of the time. And Jesus brings a welcomed interruption to Jesus Barabbas' life. Two Jesuses in the story? What? Why couldn't they just put one? It's confusing. Yet they couldn't be more different. One rules by taking lives. One rules by giving up his life. One is guilty and will be set free. The other one is innocent and will be killed. Two Jesuses. The name Barabbas means son of a father, son of Abba. I would say in this moment, maybe I'd pray, and I'm just kind of, just go with me. Abba, Father, you got the wrong son here. The Son of God is being killed in the place. This guy deserves it, yet your Barabbas gets off free. Do you see the connection here? We are Barabbas. Yes, we may hate Barabbas. We blame him. We say, you deserve it. You criticize him. But we're Barabbas. We're the Barabbas that Jesus saved. He knew what was going on here. He didn't, this is not going how I expected. Father God's not saying, Jesus, they got the wrong Jesus. No, they know what they were doing because interruptions are what he does. He uses the interruptions to cause his goal to happen. And Jesus, our Lord, assumes our name, takes on human form. And what's more, Jesus loved Barabbas. I don't know if when Barabbas was getting away, he looked back and Jesus looked at him and he said, thank you, or anything like that. He might have just left and went on killing and went on doing his sin. Oh, we would never do that. My chains are gone. We'll sing it at church. Oh, we sang it just now. She sang it. And then we leave. We forget to thank God, and then we go right back to our sin. I don't know if he did or not, but this is the thing. And can I ask you to come up? Would you play for us today? I'm going to, Hannah? Yeah. Might be for a couple of minutes. This is the way I close. It helps me to close. Okay. But maybe just play that song that you were doing. That'd be awesome. But Jesus, maybe was not thanked, but he did still go to the cross knowing one way or another Barabbas either was going to come back to him or not. It didn't matter to him. He still died while he was a sinner. There's two scriptures I want to show you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God, this is like a doctrine scripture. It's just a good verse, but it kind of explains what was going on here. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Father God, our good Father, knew that he had to give Jesus what Barabbas deserved, so that he could give Barabbas what Jesus deserved. He knew that you couldn't do it on your own. You wouldn't make it on your own. So he put it on his son. Look at this next scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Another foundational doctrinal scripture. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. When we changed, when we got rid of our chains and started living for him the way he exactly wanted us to. No, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the gospel, and it's not to be said once and put away. We need to repeat this often. And I know it's a common fact that God did this for us, but we need to be reminded, especially in this month that we are in. We are Barabbas. I don't know if in those moments, if Barabbas thought, I did this. It's because of something I must have done that I got free. So I guess I had good luck and I did what I was supposed to. Yeah, I don't think he did that. We do sometimes. We sometimes think, it's because I go to church. It's because I read my Bible last week. It's because I took communion. It's because I did this. And the thing is, we can't do it. Only Jesus. We were to be standing next to Jesus with Barabbas. We might look at our chains and Jesus says, take them off. Take off your chains. Or he might just cut them off. We might say, no, I need to leave them on because I don't deserve this. And that's wrong too. It's wrong to think that you did it in yourself, and it's wrong to think you don't deserve it, because Jesus says, what do you mean you don't deserve this? You see what I'm doing for you? You see what I'm going to go through? Yes, you deserve this. I paid for your sin. Well, yes, you paid for it when I asked Jesus into my heart, and then my first five times I came back to the altar. Yes, I did. You did. But now it's been 1,500 times and I'm coming back to you again. I don't deserve it anymore. Yes, you do deserve it. You didn't interrupt me. This is not Jesus interrupted, oh no, what to do. And I want to speak something to all of us today. I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ. And I'm not specifically just talking to those who need Jesus for the first time, because we all need him. You're in places where you think you might have interrupted Jesus with your depression. You think you might have interrupted Jesus with your mistake 9 years ago, or your mistake 9 minutes ago. You might think, because you are feeling defeated, because you are feeling addicted, because you are feeling overwhelmed, as the word was given last week. If you're overwhelmed today, it's not an interruption to Jesus that he can't handle. If you're fearful, if you're doubtful, if you're lost, Jesus is there to take your place in your lostness, in your sickness, in your hurt, in your pain, in your torture, in your loneliness. He's experienced it all. And like the guy in Missouri in 2017 that was released from jail, except that the Son of Man that came was not guilty. He was the innocent one, but he came in the place of you, and he went to prison for you. And by the way, while he was in prison, when he went to hell, he got the keys. He got the keys to death. He broke the power of death. He broke the power of sin. He did it all. But today may be your proverbial Easter pardon. You are pardoned today when you stand next to Barabbas and you're wondering, either wondering, did I do it myself, or I don't deserve this. Jesus says you're pardoned. You're pardoned today. The Father passes over Jared's sin because of his Son took on Jared's sin for us. We're closing. We're done. Would you stand to your feet? This is a holy moment. Just for this moment, holy moment right now. I'm going to give you a challenge. I think it would be appropriate that you sing just the part of the song that you sang earlier for us, Break Every Chain, and then that There's Power in the Name of Jesus. And you're going to sing it without the microphone. No, I'll give it to you. And then I'm going to give this challenge. Would you sing? Power in the name of Jesus to break our chains. And then it says there's an army raising up to break others' chains. God will use you. I don't know if Barnabas was changed. His name was changed to Barnabas, and he became one of the disciples. I don't know if Barabbas went out and changed the world. I think he probably did. I think he probably brought many people out of their chains because of what happened to him. But you have two things here you need to do. And it's not by accident this all came together. It's the Holy Spirit. He would say to you today, Jesus, there's power in his name to break you free from your chains. And there's an army that you are supposed to be a part of to help others in their challenge or their struggles. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and in a crowd like this, maybe you've been to church all your lives. Maybe there's not anyone that hasn't received Jesus for the first time. I'm certainly not going to embarrass you and call you out, but I'm going to give you the opportunity right now, because Jesus interrupted was an opportunity for us to come to him. And so if you're here today with your eyes closed, no one looking around, and you would say, I need Jesus in my life, I'm going to give another challenge in a minute for those who need to rededicate or want to get rid of some things. But just specifically, you need Jesus in your life, and he's not your Lord. He did a lot for you, and you know exactly what he did for you. And you deserve death, but he gave you life. Who needs to receive that kind of life today for the first time? Or maybe you walked away from him. Who needs that? Just raise your hand up. Be proud of it. Amen. Amen. Put it right back down again. I don't want to embarrass you. Just put it right up and right back down. It'd be fine. Anybody else? Amen. We're going to pray for those that raised their hand and those who are too shy to raise their hand, because you might be here and you've walked away from Jesus, and today he wants to receive you back. Would you say this prayer with me, everyone together? Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. I know I don't deserve it, but you've given me grace. And you never run out of grace. And so today I receive it. In Jesus' name. There's another group of you. And this is the biggest challenge for us, is not to be, you can open your eyes, is not to be devoted to Jesus, is not to be a good worshiper. Probably a bigger challenge for us is to realize that we're a villain to victory just in ourselves, because we can't seem to accept the love, the reckless love, the amazing love, the unimaginable love, the ever-reaching love. We can't seem to accept the scandalous love that Jesus would give us, even though we're Barabbas. And so we become our own villains of victory. We don't have victory in certain areas of our life because we don't assume who we are in Christ, in Christ, in Jesus. We assume who we are. I wish I had Christ, but I just can't, because I don't deserve it. So we let other things, whispers, become our villains. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You doubt too much. You're depressed. We let ourselves be fearful, doubtful. We let ourselves walk in defeat. And Jesus would say standing next to him, we're Barabbas, and he would say, I let your chains go. You're free to walk. And what I'm going to do in place of those chains, in place of your guilt, in place, I'm not yelling to be mean, I'm just yelling to be passionate, in place of your guilt, in place of your inadequacy, in place of whatever it is that's keeping you right now from a better relationship with Jesus, your anger, your being upset about this person, what they've done, your wonder of why God, you did this. All of these things that keep us, all these things that keep us from accepting freedom. Jesus would say, it's for your freedom I was set free. You are free to go. And what I will do in place of that is I will give you joy. And there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to feel guilty for it. You can walk in joy. What I will give you in place of it is peace. You can walk in peace. You have permission to walk in peace. Barabbas, walk, leave, go do your thing. Be an army for me and have peace. I'm sure Barabbas kept looking back, wondering if they're going to realize what just happened. He's not coming after you. They're not coming after you. Jesus was interrupted on purpose because he wanted to help us. The only thing that was interrupted was the villain's life, was our lives. He interrupted and he said, never anymore prison. I will give you freedom. He wants to walk. He wants you to walk in peace and don't feel guilty for it. He wants you to walk in joy. Don't be sorry that I feel joyful even though this happened. This part is God's word to you. Someone, I just left it open. I said, how would you want me to close? That's for someone. The joy and the peace. In place of it, he gave you freedom and he gave you a new life and purpose. As we see in this sweet lady right here, Hannah, you are a blessing to us today. It's uncanny how God, the Holy Spirit, works to thread his word with real life. He takes us, and it doesn't matter who you are and what prison you are in. We all have been in prison, and we all needed his joy, his love, his peace, and his hope. So, Lord, we thank you for the season of Passover, the season of Easter, the season of being pardoned from our sins. Lord, I pray that we would not walk as bound men and women, that we would not walk with shackles, that we would realize that the shackles have already been cut off of us, and we have victory. And that we will no longer need to walk in our past. We love you today, and we thank you for your love for us. And I pray that you'd help us share it to those around.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.